You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's not brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good and perfect gift comes from the Father who I
am. Amen, 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 and amen. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Lifeline Broadcast. I am Apostle Shirley Jones, the senior pastor of Rehoboth Family Life Center and the host of this broadcast. Thank you for joining me tonight. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. And as always, I am just so honored and glad to be a part of this network, When Christians Speak Talk radio show. This network is doing the work of kingdom building throughout the world and actually celebrating its 9th year this year, 9 years. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. You know, and we are in a time where the gospel must be preached to give hope and encouragement. I pray that the work of this network goes even further in doing kingdom building in 2022 and beyond. To God be the glory. Amen and amen and amen. Well, before I get into the message for tonight, I want to extend an invitation for you guys to join us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time for Rehoboth Family Life Center's worship service via Facebook Live. Invite your family and friends to join in with you. You know, this is such an awesome time to evangelize and share the good news of the gospel. You can also join us for our Bible study on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Zoom audio. You know, this year, I'm so excited. This year, we're doing something a little bit different. The theme for this year for our Bible study is exploring the Bible. And we're actually going from Genesis to Revelation. And we have some anointed teachers that are coming on each Tuesday night and expounding on the word in each book of the Bible. So you can go to our church Facebook page to get information to connect not only for our Tuesday night Bible study, but also for our service on Sunday morning. Amen? Amen. Would love to have you be with us. Well, I'm going to go ahead and open us up in prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and jump into the word for tonight. So, Father God, I just bless you, God, and I just honor you, Lord God. I give you praise. I give you thanksgiving, God, and I give you glory. God, I thank you for your loving kindness, oh God, and your tender mercies. And I say that, God, that there is nothing too hard for you, that, God, that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. And, God, I pray that even now in the name of Jesus, that, God, that you would bless these, your people that have gathered for the broadcast tonight. I pray that someone's heart would be uplifted. I pray that someone's mind would be renewed. And I pray that hope, Father God, would be restored. I pray even now in the name of Jesus that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And, Father, I will say that it was you, because it's always you. It's always you, Lord God. It's always you. And for that, my Lord, I am grateful. I am grateful. I am grateful. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. Well, tonight I'm going to share from the subject of God is and I am. God is and I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we think about this, the enemy, and I share this with the church, the enemy does not really care that we even go to church. They don't care that we go to church. He cares that we just don't become the church, that we don't become a living epistle, that we don't have an intimate relationship with God and allow purpose and destiny to become operative in our life. You know, there are things that hinder that from happening. And one of the things that we allow to challenge us is feeling unforgiven, unforgiven. And that's what the enemy works us over with overtime. The enemy plays tapes of past mistakes and sin and he narrates it with how could God love us or use us. And then, unfortunately, sometimes, you know, we listen and we begin to agree. Then the enemy uses folks to talk the same stuff about what we have done and what they know about us. And then we start to have our own doubts about God loving us and having truly purpose and destiny and being in the kingdom. Well, let us tonight, let us reveal the truth of the matter through the word of God that liberty and freedom can be experienced. You know why? Because we got work to do. We got work to do. And I saw this this little quote right before I got on the broadcast for tonight. And somebody wrote, they said, the reason why the enemy wants us to focus on the past because he don't want you to see your future. Oh, glory. He does not want us to see our future. And that's why he tries to get us to concentrate on our past. But tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to get into the word. For those of you, I need you guys to grab your Bible. Grab your Bible because I got some scriptures that we're going to go through, because a lot of times, you know, we have these ideas and the enemy comes. But remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and the enemy tried to tempt him and try to get him to do this and do that. And he didn't say nothing cute and fancy. All he said was, it is written. So tonight, we're going to talk about some of the things that get in the way of hindering us from going forward and being all that God has called us to be. And one of those things is being and thinking that God has not forgiven us. But God is a forgiving God, and I am forgiven. Come on, somebody need to say that with me tonight, that God is forgiving, and I am forgiven. Hallelujah. Because we're gonna push past some things tonight so that we can be in position to be all that God has called us to be. So depending on how far I get, I probably will break this up into two messages. I'll probably do part one tonight, and next month I'll do part two, because I don't want to rush through this, because I think it's so imperative. Because I believe that we're in a dispensation of time where God is saying that I've done so much for you. He said, remember in the beginning I said that let us make man in our image and our likeness and give them dominion. And then we looked and we saw through the corridors of time that God kept putting things in position so that we can come into a relationship with him. Then we had Jesus Christ who goes to the cross and he dies for us and he's the propitiation for our sin. And the Bible tells us that he's now sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And my question to the church was, but what is he making intercession about? Why did God do so much for us? It's not for us to just get stuff, because remember the Bible tells us that seeking the kingdom of righteousness, and all these things shall be added. So there is purpose and destiny in each one of us, that when we come into the kingdom, God has something for us to do. And I'm not talking about standing in the pulpit. I'm not talking about even being part of the fivefold ministry, although you may be called to the fivefold ministry, but there are still gifts in you. There's still purpose in you. The Bible tells us that we have been created for the will of God and for his pleasure and to walk in his power and his authority, able to be his ambassadors upon the earth, to be able to tell somebody of his goodness and his mercy and his kindness, that sons and daughters would come into the kingdom. We all have a work to do upon the earth, and the enemy does not want that to happen. And so part of tonight's message and next month is it's like we're pushing things out of the way so that we can come forth and be what God has called us to be, that we can walk in purpose and destiny. So tonight, the first one, like I said, we're going to declare that God is forgiving, and I am forgiven. God is forgiving, and I am forgiving. Come on, go with me now. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right here, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That he loved us so much that the wages of sin was death, y'all. But that's not what we got. We got redemption. Oh, glory to God that he has forgiven us so that we can come into a right standing with him. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. There is now no condemnation. Do not allow, I'm going to speak directly to somebody, I don't know who this is for, but do not allow the enemy to have you in a place of condemnation, to condemn yourself for maybe things that you might have said or done in your past, or even some things you might be in now. But the Bible says that therefore now is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. God is forgiving, and we are forgiven. Do not allow the enemy to make you think that how could God use you when all that junk you've done and all the things that you have said and yah, 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 yah. But no, the Bible tells us, therefore now no condemnation, none. We would not allow the enemy to cause us to walk in a spirit of condemnation, but we're going to walk in the spirit that knowing that God is forgiven and we are forgiven. Colossians 2:13. And I hope you guys have taken note of these scriptures, because it's going to be important to be able to help you push past some things, and not only push past, but to stay past. Oh, glory. Colossians 2:13 says, and ye, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Oh, glory to God. Everything. He says, I have forgiven you all trespasses. Do not allow yourself. Do not allow the enemy. Do not allow even friends to make you feel like that. How could God love somebody like you? How could God love somebody like you? How could God use somebody like you? But the Bible tells us that we have been forgiven all our trespasses. 1 John 2:1-2 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. Hear me now. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Oh, glory to God. So even when we were in our junk, even when we were in our mess, even when we were not following God, he had us in mind. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. He had us in mind. He did not wait until we got it right. He did not wait until we stopped certain things. He said, but no, I'm going to put something in position, someone that's blameless and spotless, because I know that Shirley and Barbara and Bobby and Mark and all my children that I've created, that at one point they're going to need me. So I'm going to make sure that there is a preparation for their sins, so they'll be able to come into a right relationship with me. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Come on now, come on. He was made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Ain't about us. It's about him, that he made sure that there was a spotless sacrifice that could be made so that we can come into a right relationship with him. And Hebrews 4:14-16 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, who had no sin. We have a high priest. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, even making intercession for us, even now, then says that then we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Oh, hallelujah. I am so grateful for that, that God put everything in place because he is a forgiving God. And we have been forgiven. Now when we come into the kingdom and we ask for forgiveness and we ask him to take our lives and make it new, that we have now the ability and the authority and the privilege and to be able to come and get before him and have conversation with him. Oh, glory to God. So he is a forgiving God, and we are forgiven. So I want you to take a few seconds right here, y'all, right here. Take a few seconds this evening and just realize and appreciate that because God is such a forgiving God and he put the plan of redemption in place through Jesus Christ, that we have been forgiven and we're able to have a relationship with God, with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and he did that all for us. Oh, glory to God. He did that all for us, that we no longer have to, we don't have to do the same things. We don't have to walk in the way that we're totally ruled by our flesh. You know, he didn't leave us by ourselves and leave us on the enemy's territory for him to off us and that we would be on our way to hell. But thank God, through redemption, through salvation, and because he is a forgiving God, that we are forgiven and we have now ability to have relationship with him. Come on now. We ought to be just thanking God wherever you may be tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, thank you, Lord God, for salvation. Thank you that you thought enough of us, Lord God, that we could be able to be forgiven and that you, God, have called us to a place to be with you. And so we just bless God for that. And I thought about this when I was teaching with the church, is that in the natural, think about this, y'all, in the natural, when one earnestly forgives, it's because you care about that person and you want a relationship with them. So it is in the spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're forgiven because he wants to have a relationship with us. So as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. Oh, glory to God. Because when you ask somebody for forgiveness, because you care about them, you care about the relationship between you and the person. Well, God has done more than that. He gave the best of him. He gave himself. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So it's not, see, a lot of times we're looking at, well, I don't have this and I don't know that and I don't know what to do and yah, 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 and the list goes on. But the Bible tells us it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It says, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. God has called us, y'all, to be the salt of the earth, to be the light in the world, to cause people's lives to change, that we have something to say. If God has ever did anything for you, the Bible tells us that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. If God has ever done anything for you, you have something to say. You have something to give. Trust me that the stuff that you may be going through and came through, that God will use that situation as somebody. God will allow their path to cross your path so that you can tell them about how you were able to come through that given situation. I had so many people that asked me when I left the way I left Philadelphia. They would meet me and see me, and they said, "But how did you just leave like that?" And I said, "But only way I could leave like that is because of the God that I serve." That I got to a place of thinking that if he can keep me in Philly, he can keep me in anywhere. And so you get the opportunity to talk about this God, because the Bible says that he works in us both to do his will and to do his good pleasure. And see, that's why it's so important that we have to have a relationship with him. That's what the enemy fights. care you go to church. He don't care about that. He said, but will you be the church? Will you when we start having a relationship with God and when we surrender to him and we say, but God, I'll do what you ask me to do, God, according to your will and of your good pleasure. That's what he challenges. That's when he comes to try to trip us up so that we can sit down and shut up and won't share nothing to nobody and we won't be in a place where God can use us. But the Bible says that we, God has called us unto himself for his good pleasure and according to his will. Psalm 8, verse 3 to 9, it says, when I consider, oh, I love this, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man of glory? What is man that thou art mindful of him? God is mindful of us, y'all. Come on now. God is mindful of us and the Son of Man that thou visiteth him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou makest him to have dominion over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the path of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Said that he is crowning us with glory and honor. Sometimes that's why you gotta get into the word and understand, but I've been crowned. I've been crowned with glory and honor. I'm walking in a place with God that he has given me what I need to be able to do his will and to do his good pleasure. I have been arrayed with glory. I have been arrayed with honor to be what God has called me to be. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So no matter what comes in your sphere, comes around you that you're confronted with, but the Bible tells us that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The enemy does not want us to grab that. So he wants us to feel like God doesn't love us or God hasn't forgiven us. And that's why you got to get into the word and let the word get into you so that when those situations come up, you can begin to declare and decree, but greater, oh, hallelujah, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. There's nothing that I am confronted with that's bigger than the God that I serve. There's no situation or circumstance that's bigger than the God that I serve. There's no lack in my life that God cannot provide. There's nothing that I go through that God is not going to see me through. Oh, glory to God. Because why? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Now, if you come into the kingdom and you have received the Holy Spirit, then you gotta tap into that. You got to know what you got. Number one, he says you've been crowned with glory and honor. Oh, hallelujah. Crowned with glory and honor. And now he says that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We have so much, y'all, so much that God has given us so that we can go forth and be all that he's called us to be. And I just believe that we're in another realm and in another dispensation of time where God is saying that I have so much more for you. I shared with the church that I have been hearing that the very portals, I might have shared this with you guys 2 months ago, that the very portals of heaven were open and the very universe, and that we have privy to it and it's at our disposal. Come on now. I'm not talking about getting a new this or a new that, but I'm talking about the power of God, the authority of God, being all that God has called us to be. That is not what the enemy wants you to believe. He does not want you to grab hold to that the very portals, oh glory, the very portals of heaven are open. When we're walking in righteousness and we're sitting before God, we're doing what he's asked us to do, that the very portals of heaven, the very universe is at our disposal and we're privy to it. So we can be all that God has called us to be. I'm talking about that ram that they talk about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9 to 12, it says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. You've got to get this in the Spirit. You've got to get it in the Spirit. That this is one of my life scriptures. I got this right before I left Philadelphia and moved here. And that's what he said to me. He says, but baby, eyes have not seen nor ear heard or entered into the heart of man the things which I have prepared for you. Oh, glory. And God has kept his word. And God is saying to us even tonight that there is more that I have for you. We're not talking about stuff that you can see. The Bible says that we walk by faith and we walk not by sight. So there's another level. There's another dimension. There's another realm that God is calling each one of us to. And God is saying that I want you to walk past, not even past. That's the word he said to me at church. He said, don't tell them that they're going to walk past. They're going to walk through it. Oh, glory. We're walking through some stuff tonight so that we could get on the other side of where God will have us positioned so that we can walk in the giftings that he's given us and the charge that's upon our lives. Oh, glory to God. In that realm of eye have not seen or ear have heard or entered into the heart of man, the things that God has for us. Come on now. We're not going to settle just for the beggarly elements of the earth, of the world, but we want what God has for us. Talking about the portals, y'all, being open. The universe that we can tap into when we get before God so that we can be all that he called us to be. So we just got to thank God. We got to thank God for salvation that has brought about, that has brought about forgiveness, and know and declare that I am forgiven. Come on, right where you are tonight. Come on, once again, that God is forgiving and I am forgiven. One more time with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That God is forgiving and I am forgiven. Oh, glory. Glory. Come on, we just pushed past some things right there, right there. We took another, here's another area that God began to talk to me about. Excuse me. He said that God is a giver of power, love, and a sound mind and not fear, and I am a recipient of glory. Come on now. Somebody needs to jot that down and repeat that with me tonight. God is the giver of power, love, and a sound mind and not fear, and I am a recipient. Oh, glory to God. When I just say I am the recipient, my shoulders just went up. My head just went up. Yes, God is not. God is a giver. We got to talk about what God is a giver of, because whatever God gives, then we are recipient of it. God is a giver of power and love and a sound mind, not fear. And I am a recipient. Yes, I am. I am a recipient of the power of God, the love of God, and a sound mind and not fear. Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Because 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 tells us, but God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, sound mind. We got to understand that, once again, it's a trick of the enemy, y'all. It's a trick. It's a trick. He does not want us to go forth. He does not want us to be in the position that God can use us and that we can make a difference in the world. Fear is a debilitating, which means a weak or feeble spirit that its purpose is to stop, to silence us, or cause us to act irrationally, all causing us not to embrace or move forward towards purpose and destiny. It hinders us from moving forward in what God and who God is calling us to be and what he's calling us to do. The word lets us know that fear is not from God, knowing that, yes, it will show up, but let the word tell the truth of the matter. If he's telling you and showing you, then you have what you need, and the rest will show up when needed. Let the process be the process, and it is sure. Oh, glory to God. Yes, fear is going to show up, and you have to think about this. There's two types of fear. We have that actually protects us. You know, when we're encountering something that's dangerous, where we need to either fight or we need to flee or flight. It's called fight or flight. That's when we have to get out of there because this thing is about to take me out. But I'm not talking about that kind of fear. I'm talking about the fear that's a debilitating spirit that causes us not to move. It causes us not to move in purpose and causes us not to move in destiny. But what has God said? Whatever God has said for you to do, God will give you the necessary things for you to do. Now, think about this. And that's why we have to push past, not push past. Every time I say push past, he corrects me. He said, nah, you got to come through it. We're coming through some things. So we're not pushing past fear because if you push past it, it's still on the side someplace waiting to grasp you, waiting to come get you. But when you come through it, it destroys the thing. It has no more power over you. And that's what he's saying. He said, but you got to understand why you got to come through this thing, because that there is a offshoot of fear. Listen to this list. This is just a very small list of the offshoot of fear. Worry, anxiety, dread, apprehension, sensitivity, distrust, paranoia, confusion, fear of man, fear of failure, fear of success, lying, deceit, doubt, stress, and then in some extreme cases, even murder. Oh, when I said that, when I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. People have killed people based on fear, what they thought was going to happen. And then they say, I don't know what happened. I just thought. But that's a trick of the enemy, trying to get that person out of purpose and out of a destiny. So one of the things we have to understand, once again, but God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And one of the things he said, are we fearful because of past events? A lot of times things happen to us. It leaves us with a spirit of fear unless we get before God and get that up off of us. And I've shared this many times with you guys, how when I was actually I was robbed by Knife Point, probably three houses from where I live. And someone ran down behind me, stopped in front of me with a knife, and demanded that I give them my purse. I gave them my purse, and the person kept saying, don't look at me, don't look at me, don't look at me. And at that point, it was like, now you're going to come with me. And they grabbed my arm. And they kept saying, don't look at me, don't look at me, don't look at me. And at that point, I'm like, I'm just done because I ain't going with him nowhere. I'm like three houses from where I live at. I thought about my children. I began to scream at that point. At that point, he let my arm go. Now, but what was so interesting about that whole encounter was that although that this guy was there with this knife in my side, at that point, I felt a presence that came actually between me and him. It was like I was looking down on what was happening, but I wasn't in it. And I truly believe to this day that that was an angel that came and stood between me and him. And at the point where he was trying to get me to go, that I could respond to that. But the interesting part about that, well, now he has my purse. He has my keys to my house. He has my license. He has all my information. So I get to the house. I'm able to get in my house. And the next day I had to stay home, and I had to get the locks changed. I had to cancel all my cards, and I stayed home for another day. But by that time, I'm just shook because I never got a real look at him. And so the next 2 days I went to work, I got on the bus, and every time a male got on the bus, I'd break out in a sweat because, remember, I don't know what this man looks like. I never saw his face. And so I started having these anxiety attacks on the bus. By the time I get to the train station, I'm standing on the platform, and just like they have down in D.C., there's a lot of people leaving at the same time. So the subway platform is crowded with people. And I start having anxiety attacks, and I'm afraid that I'm too close to the edge, and what if the crowd comes and pushes me off into the track, and I get ran over by the train. So, I'm a mess. By the time I get to work, I am a basket case. And so I come home the same way, same stuff started happening. I got in the house, and I said, God, I can't live like this. I was afraid to go out at night to Bible study. I said, God, I got to go to be able to go to church, but I'm scared to go out at night because something may happen. And so I had to really get on my face. I had to get before God and ask God. I said, but God, you're the one that saved me. Oh, glory to God. Thank God they didn't allow this man to take my life, because had he stabbed me, that probably they wouldn't have found me until the morning, because it was like 7 o'clock at night. I'm coming from the dentist. But my God, who knew that there was a purpose in my life. Hear me now, y'all. There was purpose in my life. So he could take my purse, but he couldn't take my life. And I had to get before God and ask God to remove the anxiety, remove the fear, because you're not giving me this, God. You are a giver of life, Lord God. You didn't allow him to take me out. So I'm coming to the one that saved my life during that situation. And that, God, if you save my life, you'll save me from this. And sure enough, he delivered me from that, from the anxiety, from the fear. And a lot of times we won't do anything because of past events and past experiences. He said, but you gotta trust me. You gotta trust me. He said, tell them that even sometimes we won't do it because we failed the first time and we're afraid to do it a second time because what if it happens again? But we serve a God that's faithful, and sometimes your failures are not really a failure. Your losses are not really a loss. It's an experience that you can come out of it with gems of wisdom and revelation and understanding. The only failure that you have is when you come out and you've learned nothing. But when you come out of that thing and you know that, had I did it this way, or had I turned to God for this and how God did bring me through it, then I know that I'm going to be okay. So we cannot just stop things or don't do things because of past experiences. Oh, glory to God. Because things, God is an awesome God. God is awesome God. Now, if he can do this, and he gave this to me, if he can do this, this is over in Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to 10. And we know this scripture. It says that the hand of the Lord was upon me, talking to Ezekiel, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open field, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, I know it. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into them, into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Oh, hallelujah. So you can't, don't get sidetracked now. Now, if God could speak and told Elijah to Ezekiel, he told Ezekiel to prophesy to the dry bones, and the dry bones came together in flesh and breath, and they became an exceeding great army. What is it that God has for you to do that you're sitting on because it didn't work out the first time? But I'm saying to you this morning, to tonight, brother, that pick that thing back up. Ask God, what is it, God, that you're to me that I need to go back and pick up? Is it that those songs that I need to be writing, those books I need to be writing? Is that ministry that I'm supposed to be starting, that store that I'm supposed to be opening? What is it, that foundation that I'm supposed to be establishing? What is it? Just because it looked like it was dead, but I think we've put things aside before God said it was dead. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. It ain't over till God say it's over. And I think that we put things aside because it didn't turn out the way we thought. It didn't turn out in the time frame in which we thought it was going to happen. But God said that I can speak to the dry bones. I can speak to every situation in your life. And if I cause it to come to pass, if you trust me, if you get before me, I will give you what you need for it to come to pass. Oh, glory to God. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, and we are recipients of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, y'all, even sometimes we have a fear of success. I know that sounds real strange, but we do. Sometimes we're like, okay, what are folks going to think? Things are going to change. Yes, they should change. There's no way that we could come into the kingdom and remain the same. If nothing's changed, then something is wrong. There should be growth. There should be change. There should be purpose. There should be destiny that we are experiencing. And then we have this fear. Can I last or can I keep it up? And, you know, it's new and new and new. We say we want new, but do we really want new? Are we willing to go to God and get the plan for the new? Are we willing to do that? Or are we trying to put our spin on it? Get your head out of it. Let God do it and not be afraid of success. There's somebody that's waiting for what God has given you. There's somebody that needs that word. There's somebody that needs that book. There's somebody. I'm talking to myself tonight, too, because I'm working on another book. There's somebody that needs a book. There's somebody that needs that music. There's somebody that needs you to start that foundation. There's somebody that needs you to get your certification to be a CPA. There's somebody. Come on now. Whatever God has told you to do, then we have to do it and not be afraid of success. I don't care what they say. I don't care because at the end of the day, God's going to ask me, well, Shirley, did you do what I asked you to do? Well, God, you know Betty down the street, you know, I didn't want to offend anybody and I didn't want her to think. It don't matter. It don't matter. We've got to do what God has asked us to do. Things should change. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. We should be experiencing some new things, some different things, and we're not going to experience the new and the different unless we do new and we do different. You cannot do the same thing and expect for something new to happen. Oh, no, you can't, but God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind, and we are recipients of it. We are recipients of it. And each time when there's fear comes, we lose. Every time that fear comes and we don't push past it or work through it and allow God to bring us through it, we lose. We lose. Example of this, each time that Saul was disobedient to God is because it was out of fear. And this is in 1 Samuel chapter 13. This is when it said the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed. Right here, he got caught up with the people. How do people think? What the people going to do? Then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the lands of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering, and it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, here comes Samuel. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people, once again, worry about the people were scattered from me, and I did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together in Mishmash, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself. See what happens when fear shows up. If we're not trusting God, that we will act irrationally. He said that I forced myself, therefore, and I offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Oh, glory to God. See, that's what happens when we allow fear to take over us, that we lose, because we start to act irrational. We start not to do what we know that we should be doing, because we're trying to get ourselves out of that situation instead of trusting God. Saul was supposed to wait for Samuel. He told him, wait on me. I'm going to come, and I'm going to give you the next step that God is going to tell you to do. But he was a king. He wasn't no priest. So what did he act foolishly, because he began to make sacrifice when he was supposed to wait for Samuel to do the priestly anointing. Oh, glory to God. So we have to be very careful that when the fear comes, come on now, let's rule it. Let's get before God. When you start to say, well, I don't know, you know, I've been in this thing for a while. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what I should be doing. But God, I come to you, God, and I ask that you would show me what I need to do. I'm going to get out of my head. I'm not going to listen to those people. But God, I'm going to get on my face before you, Lord God, and allow you to lead and guide me. See, that's what I loved about Joshua and Caleb. Because remember, the Israelites, they wandered, y'all, for 40 years. 40 years. They wandered for a trip that would take them a matter of days to get where they were supposed to be going. But because they kept complaining, they kept murmuring, they kept being disobedient, that even when they went to spy out the land and they saw what God had told them, milk and honey flowing, the big grapes and all the fruits and all this stuff, they came back and they gave a bad report. Why? Because fear, oh glory, fear set in. They saw the people, and what they said was the people, they look like giants in our eyes. But see, people will see you as you see yourself. And that's what they said. They said that we look like giants. They look like giants to us. But Caleb and Joshua was like, but God promised us. He said that he's given us the promised land. He's given us this land. They said, we can take these boys. But though they didn't want to do it. But they wandered because of their disbelief and their disobedience. See, when God tells you, regardless of what it looks like, if God told you that he is bringing you out, then you cannot allow fear. It's going to show up now. Let me say that. It's going to show up. Oh, trust me. It's going to show up. But that's why sometimes you got to separate. I had to separate myself from some people. I couldn't tell everybody what God was telling me to do. Even with forming the church, I couldn't tell everybody what God was telling us to do. We had to, Pastor Irma and I had to wait on God. We had to get on our face before God and listen for instruction. And here was Caleb and Joshua were the only folks that were able to go in because they believed God. Don't allow fear is going to show up, but we got to push through it and know that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And we are recipients of it. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is what Joshua and Caleb did. They were like, no, we saw the land flowing with milk and honey, and we saw the big grapes, and you know, this is what God said, and if God said it, didn't God take us over the Red Sea? Didn't he part the Red Sea? Come on now. They kept forgetting all the things God provided for them all this time. He parted the Red Sea. He got them out of Egypt. But they kept getting into their heads. They kept thinking that they were less. It had nothing to do with them, but it had to do with the promise of God. So it wasn't nobody but Caleb and Joshua that was able to go to the promised land. Casting down imagination. Get out of your head. Stop thinking about, well, it looked like, or maybe so, and I don't know. No, you do know. What does God say? Giving up a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And we are recipients now, I am a recipient of God's love, his power, and a sound mind. And I am going to be what he's called me to be. I'm going to do what he told me to do. I'm going to go where he told me to go, because there's things that God has for me to do. And think about this, y'all. Think about this. What a team. I got real silly with this one. What a team, what a team, what a team. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit in you. Come on now. Come on. Say that with me. What a team, what a team, what a team. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit in you. What a team. How you going to lose? Can't lose. You won't lose. You'll be what God has called you to be. When that thing show up, when that thing show up, we push through two things tonight. That God is a forgiving God, and we are forgiven, and that God is a giver of power, love, and a sound mind, and we are recipients. Oh, hallelujah. So we done took two steps. Hey, two steps, even where you are in your house right now. Come on, just stand up. Stand up. I wish I could see you guys. I did this at church. I wish I could see you. I couldn't see them, but they could see me. I stood up, and I took some steps. Take two steps. Stand up. Take two steps, and your stepping is putting you closer to purpose and destiny. You have just stepped through the fact that you are forgiven. You are just stepping through the fact that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, and you are recipient. Oh, you should, after that second step that you just took on the fact that you're a recipient, your shoulders should be squared back, your head is up, and you're like, okay, 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 let's do this, let's do this. What a team, what a team, what a team. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and you. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. There's things, y'all, for us to do. We're called to do things on the earth. People need to hear about God. They need to know that God is more than able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And what a team. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Oh, glory to God. So let us not sit on our purpose and our destiny, y'all. Let us not sit on our gifting and allow God to hinder us. We tackle two tonight. Next month, I'm going to do two more. We're going to be standing in a position where we'll be able to be all that God called us to be, y'all. Great things, mighty things. We are recipients of it. An open heaven and the universe at our disposal, we're privy to when we walk upright before God. Hallelujah. So, Father God, we just bless you tonight. yeah, God. We bless you. And we honor you, Lord God. We thank you tonight for God instructing us that, God, that there's more for us to do and more that you have for us. And you're telling us, God, that yes, there are hindrances, but God, you're helping us to push through it so that we can be in position to be able to do what you've called us to do before the beginning of time. I pray tonight, Lord God, tonight that we will remember what a team, what a team, what a team, what a team. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and us, we can do some things in the earth. And for that, my Lord, we are grateful. I pray, God, that you would bless this word tonight and you would bless these, your people, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that you guys have been blessed tonight. I pray that you jot some of these scriptures down and you rehearse them so that when any of those things, those hindrances of not feeling like you're forgiven, fear shows up, that you'll be able to say, but it is written. It is written. This is what God has told me, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to be. So also, if you're with us on the broadcast tonight and you have never just asked Jesus Christ to take over your life and to be what you need him to be so that you can be what you called to be, then I ask that you would just say this after or with me tonight, that I ask for forgiveness, that I acknowledge that I am a sinner, but I ask for forgiveness tonight, that I can be all God that you called me to be. I believe that Jesus died for me, and because of that, he's paid the price. And I am blessed tonight to know that I am forgiven, and that you have not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That when I receive you, I am recipient of that too. So I bless you, God. I thank you. I bless you. I honor you in Jesus' name. So if you're on the broadcast with me tonight and you prayed that with me, then I ask that you would just send me, you can send me an email, and you can send that to Apostle S. Jones at RehobothSLC.org, and I'll be sure to send you some information to help you on your journey ahead, which is a glorious journey. We get a chance to experience some things that we would never, ever experience in our lives on our own. So I pray that you guys have been blessed tonight. I want to thank you for joining me tonight. And again, next month, tell some folks about the broadcast. This is where we be the first Monday of every month. And we're just going to let God be God. Actually, I'll be doing this broadcast, y'all. It'll be 7 years in November. This November, it'll be 7 years. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but, yeah, we had a meeting. We were talking about that, 7 years. And I bless God. I bless God for this time and allowing me to come on every first Monday to be able to speak his word and pray that people have been blessed. So join me next month. You know, tell some folks to come out. This message is recorded. You can go to When Christians Speak, and you can listen to it again online. I think it's probably be recorded in about another hour or so, and you can let other folks know about it as well. So I pray that the Lord bless you and protect you. I pray that the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look with favor on you and give you peace for you and your family. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Love you guys. Have a great night.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Thank you for listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Just want to remind you that His Abounding Grace with Minister Vanessa Williams is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finished Work with Pastor Pat Randall is every Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy with Pastor Ray and Friends is every first, second, and fourth Friday at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life with Pastor Ray is the first and the third Sunday at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful with Reverend Novita Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McElwain is every third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, The Body of One with Pastor Eric and Pastor Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Antonio Mitchell, Tyrone Rose, Cleophas Malone, and Elsa Green is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Our weekly prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. It's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. The dial-in number is 712-770-5505. The access code is 732-499. This is a free conference call number, okay? Matters of the Heart of Singles Ministry is a new ministry with the host of Pastor Ray Rose and Pastor Maggie Wilson. It's every third Friday at 7 p.m. I do also want to encourage you to go and check out our website, whenchristianspeak.com. You'll find a little bit more information about the different hosts and about the different shows. Please continue to like us on our Facebook and Instagram pages of When Christians Speak Talk Radio. And also, if you'd like to get in contact with us, you can do so by sending an email to whenchristianspeak@gmail.com, or you can send us a message through any of the social media sites. Thank you again for listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. God bless you.